Hi, and welcome to the School of Hiring podcast. Today, I have a very, very special guest and a really interesting conversation ahead of us. I am joined by Stephen Knox. Stephen is the head of customer experience at Ada Health. We started this conversation a while back, actually, when we were talking about how candidates are customers, ultimately, and how their journey in a hiring process needs to be treated as a customer experience journey. But first of all, let Stephen introduce himself properly. Stephen.
Thanks, Constantine. I'm very happy to be here. And there's a clear connection for me between candidates, employees, and customer experiences. So really exciting conversation ahead, I think. I think a pretty interesting background and perspective that I bring into this, because I've always worked in technical organizations, which tend to be very data-centric and focused on numbers. And I myself studied mechanical engineering as my bachelor's degree, but I like to call myself a bit of an emotional engineer. So I'm keen onto what some people call soft skills, things like empathy and really concern for someone's feeling and their experience along the way. So I sometimes wear a different hat in the room of technical startup, always an advocate for users and always an advocate for employees.
Great. Well, it's really great to have you on the show. Thanks a lot for joining us. Now, let's take our listeners a little bit back, because we started this conversation a few weeks back when we were having a conversation about, well, customer experience and how customer experience is essential in making decisions and making those critical decisions that customers need to make, be this user decisions or purchasing decisions. And there's a lot of synergy between what you do in terms of customer experience and what needs to happen in a recruitment setting, right? And be this a recruitment setting as an agency recruiter, as an in-house talent acquisition professional, or as a hiring manager. So to start us off, how would you see the ideal customer journey from the perspective of a candidate?
From the perspective of a candidate, where I see the ideal customer journey, I think for me, it comes down to really clear expectations and open communications when the expectations need to be clarified. So especially given the diversity of how recruiting processes work throughout industry and throughout companies, when somebody becomes interested in a job and submits an application, whether that's through a portal, whether that's through an email, whether that's through a referral, they're ultimately expecting, first and foremost, for someone to take a look at that and to get back to them. Now, we already start to have very loose expectations here, because when am I going to hear back from somebody? I think many of us have had the experience of applying for a job and getting a rejection months later and not even remembering which job we applied for. So yeah. It's really like even the starting place of where we're managing expectations. And I think when we talk about an ideal perspective, the companies that stand out, the agencies that stand out, start by responding to the application and setting the expectations of how their process works and what the candidate can expect in the next stages, all the way until the completed process.
That is something that I've been saying for years, right? One of the things in a hiring process, any hiring process, when you start in a process, it would be great to know what's going to happen next. What can you expect to happen next? And then the best thing about an effective hiring process is that actually those expectations are met. You know, mm-hmm. You're supposed to have three interviews. These are the people that will be in those interviews. And these are the expected topics within those interviews. If you set that expectation early in the process and then maintain it, that already says a lot about you as not only as a team or as a hiring manager, but you as an organization. Ultimately, how you hire as an organization speaks volumes about how you function as an organization. Do you think I'm far off with that, or?
No, I don't think you're far off at all. But I would add sort of a caveat that we're talking about an ideal. And there's a lot of organizations that struggle with resources, priorities, and sort of everyone's a bit overcommitted. And in those cases, I think it's important to be honest and for the organization to step forward with that vulnerability. Say, you know, we're probably planning three steps of the interview process and we're thinking these individuals might be involved, but this is a new role. This is a new part of our organization. And some of this might change along the way. I think sometimes there's a pressure for multiple reasons to sort of fake it till you make it in the organization to look like they have everything under control and to follow this template of what you're describing in an ideal world. If for any reason they can't deliver on that, I think it's more important to be honest because that sets more honest expectations for the candidate to not get frustrated in the experience when it's different from what they were expecting to happen.
Quite really interesting point. Obviously, there is another aspect to all of this, and that is if a job definition is evolving throughout the interviews, that means that you end up ultimately comparing apples to oranges, right? You do need to start a process with an understanding of who it is that you're looking to hire and what experience you want your candidates to have throughout the hiring process, because ultimately that experience will enable them to make a decision about you as an organization, be this a positive or a negative decision. Now, we've all been there where we have applied for a job or we've been approached about a job to be ghosted at the end of it. That doesn't set the right tone of the conversation, I think. And, you know, if we're looking at candidates as ultimately customers of the hiring process, how do we build that experience for them, right?
Yeah, definitely valid. And I think you're right. It starts with building a job description and establishing clarity on, do we have a clear, aligned understanding internally of what we're looking for? And how do we communicate that externally? I think there are many cases, there are cases on both sort of sides of the spectrum where it is clearly defined. Sometimes companies are filling a similar role on an ongoing basis, especially in the world of customer support, sales, account executives. Sometimes these are very common sets of skills that you're looking for. And other times, it's a bit more of what I would call a problem finding exercise, where you don't really know what you're looking for. You know you have a pain point, but within the organization themselves, they don't have the expertise. And ultimately, they're looking to hire that expertise, but then they have the challenge of not being able to even maybe use the terminology and understand the industry that they're hiring someone out of to bring that expertise into their organization.
That's a great point. Let's change tack a little bit. With your experience that is specific to the customer experience, what makes a good customer experience? What makes a good customer journey?
I think a good customer journey is very parallel to what I was saying in a good candidate journey, is where expectations are managed very well. So give from my first awareness of the product, the service that a company is offering, it's very closely aligned to the reality of what I experience. And in my work in the customer support side of customer experience, I believe that customer support is actually a part of the product, and it's there to fill the gaps where the expectations are not met. There for a customer to communicate, like, I had a different expectation from the reality. And it's also there for the company to try to exceed and to fill in that gap where a customer had different expectations. So the ideal customer experience is where that gap is as small as possible, but also where there maintains a connection and a communication between the customer and the organization, because ultimately it is important to be hearing from your customers, having a voice of the customer within the organization. And if you're so on point with setting and managing expectations that you're never hearing back from your customers, it's hard for the product organization to evolve.
One of the things that I feel very strongly about is that any hiring process, any interview process needs to be a balance between what are the needs of the company and what are the needs of the candidate, right? It's a 50-50 setup. Any interview is an opportunity just as much for the company to find out about the candidate as it is for the candidate to find out about the company. And I think this is unfortunately very often lost in the process, because companies just want to find out what is it that the candidate can deliver for the company. How do you see this being better balanced from the perspective of, again, the customer? How do you give more space to the customer to, or the candidate in this case, to find out more, to learn more about the organization? How would you structure a process ultimately to give that space to a candidate?
Very, very important point. And in a way, you're sort of preaching to the choir, because absolutely an advocate of having more of a power balance and equally invested on the candidate side, getting an opportunity to explore the company, the role, and figure out if it's right for them as well. In terms of how that's done from a customer perspective, so how to develop a hiring process that balances the candidate and the company. I think one of the best tools, which can be challenging to implement, but I think is really important, is to have some sort of exercise, trial. It happens a lot in software coding, where you do a coding exercise. But I've also done it in customer-facing roles, where it says, you know, here's a handful of examples of the challenges that we solve with customers. How would you approach these? What are the kind of questions that are in your mind? And there's not necessarily right or wrong answers to those things, but it's really important from my perspective to utilize those type of tools and those type of stages in an interviewing process, so that the candidate can be a bit more on a level playing field in terms of understanding the reality of the types of problems that they have to solve and the type of work that they're doing when considering themselves in this position, as well as when being able to answer questions and be able to proceed in the rest of the interview process, to really have a scope and an understanding. Because I think when you don't have those type of exercises, when the candidate might not have an opportunity to demo or trial the product, then it disadvantages the candidate from being able to offer their full potential, and to be able to also assess their own potential and to ask critical questions to the company and to the organization to determine whether it's a fit from that side as well. And that, I think, also speaks to the point you said about comparing apples to oranges. If you offer a trial, a challenge, a stage of the interview process where you expose the candidate to a real problem that is pertinent also to the customer and the user that the organization serves, it helps those candidates be evaluated in a more similar way as well.
Thanks for that. You know, one of the things that I've also found is that, at least in my interviews, what I like to do is I like to give the opportunity for candidates to ask questions first.
Mm-hmm.
For candidates to be put in a position where they are actually interviewing me or my company as a first step, because there are always going to be questions about what can I gain from this conversation. There's always going to be questions about, is this the right place for me? There's always going to be questions about culture fit, you know, the enigmatic, ultimately, culture fit, where, you know, it's probably the most common reason for rejecting candidates. It's culture fit. However, very few companies have truly pinpointed what their culture is, which makes it an opportunity for a lot of bias and gut feeling decisions rather than something. Yeah. But on the other hand, candidates need to be given the same opportunity to ask their questions, to find out about the culture, to find out about the organization, to find out about the people, to find out about the work, to find out about the tasks that they would be working on. And giving them a forum of this in interviews, I think, is rather critical.
Mm-hmm.
However, in our conversation so far, we have focused quite a bit on interviews. However, the candidate journey or the customer journey is not only about those interviews. There's also those bits of communication, of information, of email exchanges that happen in between. Anything as basic as scheduling an interview to how feedback is provided. What feedback is provided? Is feedback provided? To what information is provided before interviews about the person that the interview will be happening with, or what should be prepared before that interview? How would you set up that communication between interviews most effectively to give that positive customer experience to candidates?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, a great question. And I like that you mentioned giving candidates the opportunity to ask their questions as well, and putting that at the beginning, something I hadn't thought about before. One of the lesser known, but I think really important metrics in customer experience, a lot of people are very familiar with customer satisfaction, getting surveys, are you satisfied or not in your customer experience? There's also something called customer effort score, which I'm not sure if you've been exposed to it or not, but it basically answers the question, how easy did X organization make it for me to solve my issue? And this is in a customer support context, assuming there was an issue. Another way to ask it might be, how easy is it to do business with this organization? And doing business is achieving whatever the goal of utilizing that company's products or services is. And now I mention that because I think that's a really excellent lens to think about the candidate experience and these in-between stages, these interactions with the organization for a candidate. How easy is it to be a candidate of this organization and to be considered in for a role? Is the candidate having to do the majority of the effort to, you know, write out a bulleted list of all of their availability versus being exposed to a calendar where they can select a time and immediately maybe schedule the interview? Is the candidate having to follow up, which I think we've all had that experience as well, saying, hey, what's the status? What's the next step? You know, that's certainly, if you take a candidate effort score, I guess we could call it, if you take that perspective to the various stages of the interview process, how much is the organization doing to reduce the effort of the candidate to achieve their goal, which is to present themselves and to evaluate if they are a fit and they want to stay in consideration for a position?
Wow, that is brilliant advice and brilliant way of looking at it. I really enjoyed that answer and opened my eyes to something, actually. Now, it's pretty clear that the candidate effort plays a critical role in the candidate's ultimate decision, and we'll call this the buying decision. However, with the candidate effort in mind, with all of this taken into context of the current market that we're in, where candidates have a lot of opportunity, there is a definite skills shortage, be this in tech, be it in product, be it in sales, be it in marketing. It is becoming even more critical to make it as effortless as possible for candidates to go through the process. However, how do you create a process that is effortless on one hand, but on the other hand, enables companies to truly look at what is the potential of the person and to truly dig into whether this person would be the right fit for their organization? And we can't increase the number of interviews, because that increases the effort that candidates have to do. But we also can't make effective hiring decisions based on a single interview that is done on the weekend when the candidate feels that they're available for an interview. How do you strike that balance between getting what you need as an organization to make an effective decision about a hire and making it as effortless as possible for the candidate to engage in that conversation and present themselves?
First of all, I think effortless is sort of the ultimate goal and this actually comes from a group of researchers in a book called The Effortless Experience. But effortless isn't necessarily the right goal for all organizations, because it can also create an incongruent experience to the employee experience if things are all not, you know, rainbows and butterflies inside the organization. To have this really simple and beautiful hiring process, and then you join the company and it's chaos and there's a lot of things to figure out. So I think there needs to be a balanced representation of the reality, and that's where we talked about honesty earlier. But I do think in terms of balancing the amount of effort for the candidate and the investment of time and the number of stages of the interview, maybe we've become too accustomed to synchronous real-time communication in this world of Slack and always online and so many notifications. And I've been in some recruiting processes where the organization or a team made a one-pager or a small set of slides or even a video to talk about the work that they do and offer that to the candidate on the side, on the, you know, so that they can review it on their own time. And that save some of the time that you might have to spend in an interview to explain what is the scope of this work, explain who the team is and how they prefer to work, which is essentially the same information that you would need to repeat to all candidates, but could also be affected by the engagement, the commitment, the focus of the person who has the opportunity to explain that to a candidate. So if you offer the same resource in whatever format that would be, to a candidate, that gives them something to explore on their own, which is very specific to the role, the opportunity. And then you can focus the stages of the hiring process that are synchronous, people there together communicating on the more personal questions. And when you really need to be evaluating, okay, based on what we've learned about each other, is this a fit? And the same can be said on behalf of the company, them taking their time to really look at the CV and the cover letter, you know, not just 2 minutes before the interview or in the first 2 minutes of the interview. I think we've all also had interviews where it's like, I have your CV in front of me right now. And they're actually looking at it for the first time. Of course, in terms of respecting one another's time, this can happen on both sides, expecting the candidate to do some homework beforehand and expecting the recruiter, the interviewer, the evaluator to do the same.
You've actually just hit on a really sore spot for me, and that is interview preparation. As employers, we always expect candidates to prepare for interviews. We actually don't see it very positively if a candidate comes into an interview not having done at least some basic preparation and basic research. However, very little is spoken about how a hiring manager should prepare for an interview. I don't actually think that just reading a CV or a CV and a cover letter is enough of a preparation for an interview. I think there's a lot more to it. I don't think that going through a candidate's CV in an interview is an effective interview. It's a CV. You've already read it. You have that information. What you should start exploring is the matches between the experience of the candidate and the role, as well as the matches between what the company is looking for and what the candidate is interested in bringing into the company. More of that, I actually cover that on the schoolofhiring.com training that I've built. And it's specifically about how should hiring managers prepare for interviews, because this is a big part of the candidate's experience.
Mm-hmm.
If a candidate comes into an interview and faced with someone that has maybe had a glance at their CV and starts to go through their CV line by line in the interview, I don't see that as a particularly good candidate experience. I see it as a lot of wasted time.
Yeah, I agree with you. I guess I just mentioned that from the perspective of knowing who they're speaking with. In an organization who I think really clear and well hiring and interviewing process, I think there's also a clearly defined purpose and function of each interview stage. And unfortunately, whether it's a hiring manager or an interview at a different stage, too often people assume, okay, I know how to interview. I can ask questions to this person and get to know them. But it's also important for the person to prepare for the interview and know what interview is this, what type of questions are appropriate for me to ask, and what might have been already covered in other stages, because in terms of candidate experience, they don't want to be repeating themselves, especially when they know someone's saying, oh, I'm taking notes if I pause. You know, they should assume that the next person is also, you know, reviewed those notes and know what's been discussed already.
Absolutely, 100%. Now, one thing I always like to ask and explore in these podcast conversations is, what advice would you give to a new hiring manager, someone that is just beginning on their journey of hiring? What would be something they should know?
This wouldn't have come to mind except for in preparing for this, I wrote down an idea which I think really sticks here, which is, don't ask questions that you're not comfortable answering yourself. I think if you can follow that advice, and not just questions, but don't present challenges, don't ask the candidate to give you input that you're not prepared to respond yourself as an organization, as a hiring manager. And I think that also, if you follow that advice, it really brings back that 50-50 balance of how much do we expect from candidates to bring to the table to be prepared for interviews, for all of these different types of things. And I guess it plays into the golden rule of how we treat people, do unto others as you would have done unto you. Yeah, I would leave it with that.
Wonderful. That outstanding advice, actually. So thank you, Stephen. This has been a really interesting conversation. And thank you very much for sharing your experience and your knowledge with us here.
Yeah, thank you for sharing the journey and exploring with me. Really good questions.